Well, joining me now on the phone is Raja Krishnamoorthy. He is the Democratic Congressman for Northwest and Western Suburbs, Democrat from Schaumburg. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick.
How many Twitter followers do you have?
I don't have 125 million.
Are you a very good speller? Are you very good at that kind of thing?
I can spell.
I'm not gonna. Enough of that and the fake news and all of that kind of stuff. I wanted to have you on, and one thing, and obviously you're a Democrat. Republicans control Congress, but with the adoption of that federal budget and now all attention on tax reform, and in talking to a lot of people, I think there's a real big concern about this loss, possible loss of the state and local tax deduction for Illinois taxpayers.
Yes, it's a big concern, and you know, that budget resolution was atrocious. It did three things that, in my opinion, were really unacceptable. You know, it passed by four votes. One, it basically allows for $1.5 trillion with a T to be added to our debt to fund tax cuts for special interests. Two, it basically removes numerous or paves the way to remove numerous deductions that basically help working and middle class families. One, the most prominent example is the deduction for state and local taxes. Just to give your listeners a little bit of background, in Cook County, removing that deduction will raise the average family tax bill by over $4,000. In Kane County by $5,000 per year, and in DuPage by $6,000 per year. So in other words, when you remove that state and local tax deduction, also known as the SALT deduction, you're basically increasing taxes on working and middle-class families, which to me is absolutely the wrong way to go. And then the third big problem that I saw is that that budget resolution allows for House Republicans and others to basically cap deductions for 401k plans. Right now, you can save up to $18,000 per year pre-tax for retirement, and they want to cut it back to $2,500 or $2,400 per year, which really hurts a lot of families that are, you know, basically trying to catch up in their 40s and 50s for retirement, and it's, again, just the wrong way to go.
Well, and let's talk about the 401k, because obviously that is now the preponderant method of savings. Pension
right.
plans have gone away, and the goal has always been to try to encourage savings.
That's right. I mean, you know, pension plans are slowly dying. All that's left is basically being able to save 401k and then having Social Security. And, you know, that 401k leg of the stool is now very wobbly because of this Republican tax plan in the House. And I'm very concerned. I think that this is, again, hurting the middle class, hurting working families, and basically making it less possible to enjoy a dignified retirement.
Going back to the SALT, the state and local tax deduction, and a lot of people who are in support of doing away with it say, well, it's high tax states like Illinois and California and New York and New Jersey, and that it's the rest of the country is subsidizing those tax breaks. And that, I think, tends to overlook on the opposite side that those states are also donor states when it comes to contributing revenue to the federal government.
Yeah, that argument that is put forward by the House Republican leadership is just phony baloney. Illinois, for instance, is a huge donor state to other states, especially in the South and in other places. We send a lot more in federal tax dollars to Washington, D.C. than we receive back, whether it's because our wages are slightly higher, or because we have a bigger social safety net and so forth. In any case, I think it's a cynical move to basically try to extract revenue from those states where House Republican leaders are less likely to get votes, places like Illinois and California and New York and New Jersey. And I think that helps to explain why at least 20 Republicans in those states voted against the budget resolution. I think that we have to be very mindful of the fact that, you know, working and middle-class families are under the squeeze. They're pinched on many sides right now. Their wages and salaries are flat. Their expenses are going through the roof. And to remove this state and local tax deduction is absolutely unacceptable. I've written the governor about this. I've written the chairman and ranking member of the Ways and Means Committee in the House and others to basically step back from this particular position.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked the governor about some of these issues going on in Washington that do have a serious effect on Illinois. Things, obviously, like Obamacare repeal and replace, things like the state and local tax deduction. His response was that he doesn't feel an obligation to have to talk about everything that's going on in Washington. Do you guys in the congressional delegation, obviously you're a Democrat, I understand that, but do you guys hear any response from the governor's office when you make these requests?
We haven't, and I'm a little puzzled when the governor would say that this is a federal issue when state and local taxes could not be more local. That's an issue that could not be more pertinent to what people in Illinois are feeling on an everyday basis. Once that particular deduction is removed, you really hurt these families and their consumption power, their ability to generate economic activity within Illinois, and ultimately the state budget. And I think that the governor should weigh in, and he should basically talk to the House Republican leadership and others and basically ask them to step back from the brink.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. We're speaking with Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democratic congressman from the Northwest and West Suburbs, Democrat from Schaumburg. Congressman, I know actually in watching my social media, I've noticed that you've been talking about the issue in Puerto Rico involving the electrical contract that the Whitefish Energy Company, with two full-time employees, getting a $300 million no-bid contract to restore the power in Puerto Rico. And there's so many questions about this contract. The White House says, well, we didn't have anything to do with it. It was the Puerto Rican authorities that did it. But how does a company with two people get a contract like that?
Good question. I sent a letter, and I'm calling on basically the Oversight Committee to have hearings on this particular Whitefish contract. To say that it's fishy, it would be an understatement. Look, I think that a company with two full-time employees receiving a no-bid $300 million contract to restore power in Puerto Rico in the first instance is very questionable. Secondly, you may have noticed this, but this particular contract actually included what is called a no-audit clause that basically forbids not only the Puerto Rican Electric Power Authority, but any other governmental authority from auditing the company's costs or profits or expenditures under this contract. Now, you may have known this. I was a special assistant attorney general in Illinois, helped to start the anti-corruption unit for Lisa Madigan's office. And so, unfortunately, when I was there, business was good because we saw a lot of contracts like this amounting to crony capitalism. And what I can say is this Whitefish contract looks a lot like something we used to see here in Illinois.
But the White House says they didn't have anything to do with it.
well, let's find out. I think we have to hold hearings and investigate this particular situation. You may know this, but Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, a former congressman, is from Whitefish, Montana, and already there are allegations that he somehow connected or wired these people into the process to get this contract. I don't know, but we have to investigate and find out what's going on. This is the type of contract and type of practice which just breeds so much cynicism about government and you know, at a time when we're talking about, you know, trying to tighten our belts and trying to make sure that government is operating more efficiently, this type of a contract appears to be unacceptable to me.
Earlier in the program, I had Pat Brady, the former state Republican chairman, on, and Pat is a former white-collar federal prosecutor, and we now have on tomorrow, we're expecting, and it's been confirmed by various news outlets that the first indictments coming from special counsel Robert Mueller and his investigation will be coming out. We don't know who or necessarily what, but it could provide a template. It could provide a template for where things might be heading in this investigation.
Possibly. I think that on Friday we learned that Special Counsel Mueller has made these indictments under seal. We'll probably learn next week, hopefully at least the identity of who is under indictment, and perhaps he'll even move to arrest them. In any case, the Oversight Committee, on which I sit, as well as the Intelligence Committee and the other committees, must do everything to make sure that Special Counsel Mueller can pursue his investigation without hindrance from Congress or anybody else. And he needs to be able to do this with all deliberate speed at this point.
Well, and I know that certainly there are concerns, too, about the president's use of the pardoning power.
Yeah, I've been sounding the alarm on this for months, Rick. It turns out the pardon power can be invoked not only preemptively, meaning before charges are brought, but it can also be done secretly. And that's something that my staff discovered upon researching this particular issue. We also learned that the president is investigating, you know, potentially pardoning himself. And so we issued a letter to the White House counsel, Don McGahn, I think 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, essentially asking him whether any such pardons had already been exercised or were contemplated for any of the key witnesses in this investigation, such as Paul Manafort, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and others. We have yet to receive a response. We'll probably press him again. In part because of this, I introduced something called the Pardon Transparency Act, which basically would require the president to publish online within 3 days of pardoning anybody to bring more transparency to the process and also to make sure that law enforcement knows full well who exactly has received pardons. And if not, if they go about their investigation, because if they don't know, it could really mess up their investigation and lead them down the wrong track.
Well, it looks like we have a lot to look forward to watch in Washington in the days and weeks ahead. Congressman Rajna Krishnamoorthy, Democratic Congressman for the Northwest and West Suburbs, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, thank you so much, Rick. Have a great day.